Prayer is the sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ. And one of the common discouragements in our Christian life is the accusation, perhaps even the feeling, that God does not answer all of our prayers, or even any of our prayers, that He does not hear the cries of His children. However, the Lord's people ought not to lay prayer aside on a mere feeling or temptation from others that God does not hear our cries.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Draw your attention this morning to the Psalm 65 and verse 2. The 65th Psalm and verse 2, the Word of God says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. What is prayer? The Puritan John Bunyan defined it as, prayer is the sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised, or according to His Word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. Prayer is the sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ. And one of the common discouragements in our Christian life is the accusation, perhaps even the feeling, that God does not answer all of our prayers, or even any of our prayers, that He does not hear the cries of His children. However, the Lord's people ought not to lay prayer aside on a mere feeling or temptation from others that God does not hear our cries. Our text this morning, in the words of the psalmist, in the words of David, reveals afresh to our souls that God hears the cries of His people. Oh, how we need to be continuously refreshed in our knowledge of God and in doctrine and in the practical outworking of that doctrine. Oh, how often we have heard sermons on prayer and devotions on prayer, yet perhaps we find ourselves, or you find yourself, discouraged at the place of prayer and thinking, God does not hear me. God does not hear my cries. Perhaps you've been forsaking the place of prayer. And perhaps you do not see the importance or the value of the place of prayer. And as a result of your devaluing the place of prayer, it has led to a forsaking of the place of prayer, not only private, but publicly as well. And therefore then, dear congregation, this psalm reminds us, it reminds you and it reminds me that the Lord our God is a God who hears our prayers. The Most High God is a God who hears the prayers of His people. That is something we need to understand. That is something that we need to continually remind ourselves about. God hears our prayers. If we ended the sermon at this point, I trust that even reflecting upon that phrase, God hears our prayers, is enough of an encouragement to our souls. God hears our prayers. Is that not even a simple encouragement to us today? that amidst the trials and struggles of our lives, that our God, the living and true God of heaven, is a God who hears the prayers of His people. When we come to pray, and we are a church that believes in prayer, we believe in the importance of prayer. We believe that not only should we come together as the church to pray, but we should be praying as individuals. And we come to pray to a God that is defined here in Psalm 65, verse 2, Thou that hearest prayer. And that very simply is our title today, Thou that hearest prayer. And we see firstly that it is a glorious title of our God. A glorious title of our God. There is a title ascribed to God in verse 2, Thou that hearest prayer. It is a title that is attributed to God by the psalmist out of the experience of his soul with God. Out of the experience of his soul with God. Who is the psalmist here? Well, if we go back to the title, it is a psalm and a song of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was one who loved the Lord and desired to walk in the paths of the Lord and in the footsteps of the Lord. One who communed with God. One who praised God. One who prayed to God. And therefore, David's experience was this. Thou art a God who hears the prayers of His people. Thou that hearest prayer. It is a title, as one commentator said, ascribed to the Lord with the unanimous consent of all the sons of Zion. The unanimous consent of all the sons of Zion. And oh, if we were this morning to give that unanimous consent of ourselves as the people of God, would you consent to that? That your God is a God who hears prayer. Is that something that we agree with? Is that something we can say amen to? Is that something that encourages our hearts that our God hears prayer? In verse 1, if we turn back to verse 1, there is a reference here to Zion. Zion, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, in Jerusalem. And there's an emphasis here on Zion being the place where the covenant people of God come together to praise the Lord. There is this clear reminder of who we are in our relationship with the God of heaven. We are His people, the covenant people of God who come together. We praise Him. That sets the scene. It brings us into verse 2 where this title is attributed to the Lord on the basis of His relationship with His people. How marvelous that is. Thou that hearest prayer. God hears our cries because of His relationship with His people. This glorious title of God, it brings encouragement. It brings comfort. It brings help to God's people. And it is a title that is founded upon the relationship that we have through God, or with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. We have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Christ is that mediator. And this title that God answers our prayers, it comes from that relationship that we have with God because of Christ. And our relationship with God is not founded upon us. It's not founded upon what we can do for God, but rather what God has done for us in salvation and in redemption. He is the one who sent His Son to be our Savior. He is the one who came to us, we who were dead in trespasses and in sins, we who were lost and condemned, and He reached down, as it were, His hand and lifted us up out of the miry clay, setting our feet upon the rock. Our relationship with God is God-centered. It is Christ-centered. It is defined by God and not ourselves. The very same way that we're saved by grace, not of works. Our relationship with God is defined on His terms. In mercy and undeserved grace, He redeemed us. And therefore, because of that relationship, He has this great title as one who heareth prayer. It is a title that is true. I want you to turn to Psalm 116 again. The psalmist in verse 1 says, I love the Lord. Why? He gives an answer. Because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. And this very easily could be our text today as well. The psalmist loves God. Why? He hears Him. He hears His supplications. He hears His voice. He inclines His ear unto Him. And the result of that, the consequence of that in the life of the psalmist is, I will call upon Him as long as I live. I'll not forsake the place of prayer. I'll not forsake or neglect coming to God in prayer. Because He hears me, I will come. And that's our emphasis today as we think on Psalm 62 or 65. God who hears prayer, that is a motivation for us to come and to call upon Him as long as we live, because He hears us, because He is our mediator. And this title is a true title. We see it in the Scriptures. God is one who answers prayer. We find Abraham interceding for Sodom in Genesis 19 and God answering prayer. We find the servant of Abraham seeking a wife for Isaac. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray Thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. And after or before he had done speaking, the word of God says, that behold, Rebekah came out. The one who would be the wife of Isaac, Abraham's servant, prayed for guidance and God answered that cry. Hannah prayed for a son. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of Him. God answered prayer. Elijah on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. He cried, not unto the prophets, or not unto the God of Baal, as the prophets of Baal cried unto, but he cried to the living and true God of heaven, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. The fire of the Lord fell. Elijah prayed, and God came and answered by fire. Moving through the Old Testament, we find God answering prayer after prayer after prayer. Jonah prayed from the fish, the belly of the fish, and God answered prayer. We find in Acts 12, the early church, they came together and they prayed because Peter was in prison. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And what happened? The angel of the Lord came and delivered Peter from prison. Cornelius prayed. Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Paul prayed for safety and deliverance, and God answered that cry. And we are reminded in Scripture that our God is a God that heareth prayer. Not only do we find that this text is supported by other passages in Scripture, but we find that this text is really a commentary or a summary of what the Word of God teaches. A God who answers prayer, a God who hears prayer. And Scripture teaches us that God hears prayer. This text summarizes God's Word. Dear believers, this is a summary that you need to hear today. A reminder that you need for your soul. Maybe the place of prayer has been hard and difficult. Sometimes it cannot be easy. Sometimes we can neglect it. Sometimes we can be so discouraged because we're praying and we're praying and we're praying without ceasing and everything seems to be going wrong. Or we're reminded that God hears the cries of His people. He knows our situations. He knows our difficulties. He is a God who hears. This is a great title, a biblical title. Maybe even in your own life, you know that this title is true because God has answered your prayer. God has given help. God has saved. God has redeemed. And you know, yes, this text is true. Not only do I hear it from the Scriptures, not only do I hear it from other believers, but I myself know it's true because I've experienced God answering prayer. Therefore, there is an encouragement to us today to remind ourselves of this glorious title and what it means to our souls. It's a title that distinguishes God. His hearing of our prayers lies in who He is, the living and true God of heaven. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And this title reminds us that He is all-sufficient, the all-sufficient God for His people. And this must be true. Why? Because if He were not all-sufficient, He could not be the hearer of our prayers. I'm not all-sufficient. I don't claim to be. And an evidence of that is that you could be praying during the sermon this morning, praying for God's blessing, praying for God to speak to your soul, and I know absolutely nothing about it. Because man is not sufficient. Man is not omnipresent. Man is not omniscient. Man is not omnipotent. These titles, these doctrines, these truths belong to God alone. Why do we come? Why unto thee shall all flesh come in prayer? It is because God is all-sufficient. If He were not all-sufficient, He could not hear our prayers. He is the one who hears the cries of the sinner for salvation. He has the power to help us in our prayers. The Savior has all the fullness of the Godhead. He is all-sufficient. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth. Christ in view, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. We see the all-sufficiency of God here. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. The arm of the creature is weak regarding salvation and strength, but the Lord is not weak. I want you to turn to Isaiah 59. The Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 59. And the verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Well, we know the difficulty of hearing sometimes. Sometimes we can't hear because of noise. Sometimes we can't hear because the person talking to us speaks so quietly. Sometimes we can't hear because we tell ourselves, we can't hear. We don't want to hear. And therefore, we don't listen. But God, His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Because of His power, because of His sufficiency, there is nothing too hard for God. And because God hears prayer, this title reminds us of His omnipotence. It reminds us of His infinite power, that nothing is too hard for Him. Because He is a God who hears prayer. He is a compassionate God and a loving God. The psalmist in Psalm 86 verse 5 said, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. He is able and willing to give what we need. In James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Why? Why do we ask these things of God? Because He is a God who hears and a God who can answer. This is a title that is accessible. God is accessible to sinners through Christ who was made sin for us. We come and we pray through the Savior. God is on a throne of glory and we are guilty before Him. Yet He sits upon a throne of grace, and through Christ we have access to God. He is a consuming fire, yet we behold Him through the Savior. And He is one who hears our cries. He is a God who pardons the sin of His people. And it is through the pardon of our sins that we have access to God in prayer. We come and we pray as His people because we have been redeemed. And that question comes to you today. Have you been pardoned of your sins? Do you have that free and that glorious access to God through Christ because you're standing upon that foundation of Christ's work of redemption for your soul? There are many sinners who claim to be religious, many sinners who no doubt pray, yet all their prayers are not prayed on the basis of the atoning work of Christ. They're not coming as God's people. David knew as he came to the Lord, he was coming as one who loved the Lord, one who belonged to the Lord. Well, there's a reminder here that the God of heaven is accessible to His people. Are you one of those people? Are you redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, knowing your sins forgiven, having that access to God through the Savior? This is a glorious title that reminds us of who God is and what He has done for us. But secondly, we find that it is a divine encouragement from the Lord. A divine encouragement from the Lord. Believer, our God is an encouraging God. Praise His name. He encourages His children. He encourages them to pray. And our text is a reminder and an encouragement to you to pray, because God hears the prayers of His people. He hears the prayers of His own children. Jonathan Edwards says, though He is infinitely above all and stands in no need of creatures, yet he is graciously pleased to take a merciful notice of poor worms of the dust. He's talking about Himself. He's calling us worms, poor worms of the dust. In the sight of God, that's what we are, poor worms of the dust. He manifests and presents Himself as the object of prayer. Appears as sitting on a mercy seat that men may come to Him by prayer. When they stand in need of anything, He allows them to come and ask it of Him and is one to hear their prayers. How marvelous that is. We who were just poor worms in the dust, but yet the living and true God of heaven calls us to Himself to come and to pray, and He hears us. For you.
A Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Isaiah chapter 14 and the verse 10. Art thou become like unto us? Art thou become like unto us? What must be the apostate professor's doom when his naked soul appears before God? How will he hear that voice? Depart, ye cursed. Thou hast rejected me, and I reject thee. Thou hast played the harlot and departed from me. I also have banished thee forever from my presence, and will not have mercy upon thee. What will be this wretch's shame at the last great day, when, before assembled multitudes, the apostate shall be unmasked? See the profane and sinners who never professed religion, lifting themselves up from their beds of fire to point at him. There he is, says one. Will he preach the gospel in hell? There he is, says another. He rebuked me for cursing, and was a hypocrite himself. Aha, says another, here comes a psalm-singing Methodist, one who is always at his meeting. He is the man who boasted of his being sure of everlasting life, and here he is. No greater eagerness will ever be seen among satanic tormentors than in that day when devils drag the hypocrite's soul down to perdition. Bunyan pictures this with massive but awful grandeur of poetry, when he speaks of the back way to hell. Seven devils bound the wretch with nine cords, and dragged him from the road to heaven, in which he had professed to walk, and thrust him through the back door into hell. Mind that back way to hell, professors. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Look well to your steed. See whether you be in Christ or not. It is the easiest thing in the world to give a lenient verdict when oneself is to be tried. But, oh, be just and true here. Be just to all, but be rigorous to yourself. Remember, if it be not a rock on which you build, when the house shall fall, great will be the fall of it. Oh, may the Lord give you sincerity, constancy, and firmness, and in no day, however evil, may you be led to turn aside. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we trust that the ministry of God's Word has been a blessing to your heart, and that you would indeed consider the devotion that Spurgeon brought to us. Where will you spend eternity? Is your faith in Christ a real, genuine faith that is built and founded upon Christ alone for salvation? There are many hypocrites in this world. There are many hypocrites within the church. Those who think because of their attendance or because of their good works that God will never condemn them to hell for all eternity. But our good works are as filthy rags. Our good works, our church attendance is not the condition upon which we enter into heaven. It is, what have you done with Christ? Have you turned from sin and in faith and repentance accepted him, the Lamb of God, to be your Saviour? Oh, that you would know with assurance that when you stand there on the last day, you'll hear those words come, and not that word depart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.